A Heart Finds Love. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1880. Alnina looked round the room, trying to see if there was anything else she could sell. She had already sold everything of value that she could find in the house, but there were still a large number of debts outstanding. Her brother, Charles, had been bankrupt, although no one had been aware of it when he died. Now, she was left to save what she could of a home that had been her father's delight and joy, and his father's and grandfather's before him. Lord Leicester had been, when he was a young man, very keen on travelling, and, as a result, there were a great number of treasures in the house that he had brought from different parts of the world. Alnina found that these had sold well, and fetched much more than she anticipated. Charles, the last of the Leicester male line, as far as she knew, had been a wild spender ever since he came into the title, and because he was so handsome, he was a great success socially. But what he really enjoyed was going off to Paris and spending a lot of money on the attractive women who had become famous all over Europe. Alnina had at that time been at school, and therefore was not aware of what her brother was doing. Their father had always encouraged his children to learn languages and to be cosmopolitan as well as English, so she had stayed on an extra year at her school in Holland when she should have left, because she was very keen on learning more languages than she already knew. Alnina had had a terrible shock when she arrived back in England. She had learnt that her brother had fought a duel in Paris in which he was badly wounded, and had died 3 days later. As she had been away from home for so long, she had no idea where their other relations were, or even if they had any, nor did she want to seek them out and ask them to help her. Instead, she sent for her brother's solicitor, and then, to her horror, she learnt of the enormous amount of debts he had run up in the last 5 years since he had become Lord Leicester. "I will have to sell everything I can to meet these debts," she said to Mr. Burns, the solicitor. "I am afraid, Miss Alnina," he then replied, "that your brother's creditors did not want to wait, and were on the point, before his lordship went abroad, of bringing a court case against him."
"I hope they will not do that to me," Alnina asked.
"I can prevent them from doing so," Mr. Burns said, "but only if you can pay them back bit by bit of all that is owed."
"Well, I will certainly do my best," she answered, "but as you know, a large house without many acres attached to it is not particularly interesting. We were unfortunately fairly near to London, and I think people who are really social want either to be in London or much further out in the country." Mr. Burns knew that this was true, but he was well aware that there had been no offers for the house since it had been put on the market. Because he was a kind man, and had known Alnina since she was a little girl, he had shown her how to sell the very best furniture at Christie's auction rooms in London. He had also sent quite a number of his clients down to the house to see if there was anything they wanted to buy. "At least," Alnina thought to herself, "every creditor has been given some money, but there is still such a large amount outstanding, so there must be something more that I can sell." But all the silver had already gone, as well as her mother's jewels. She had already sold all the pictures that were of any value, and one or two of them proved to be valuable enough to keep most of the creditors at bay. Now, having looked around the rooms that seemed extraordinarily empty, she walked up the stairs and into her mother's bedroom. She had felt it was almost sacrilege to sell any of her mother's clothes. She wanted to wear them herself, but they were in some ways too old-fashioned for her. Anyway, it was most unlikely that anyone would want to buy ball dresses that were out of date. Her day clothes, she knew, would go for a very small sum to the village women, who would find them useful, but she was determined not to empty her mother's room completely until the very last moment. Her dearest mamma had died when she was 15, and she had loved her dearly. She had been extremely fond of her father, and although she wanted to love her brother, she had seen very little of him. He was always enjoying himself either in London or on the continent.